All right, we got camera. All right, put that on the chair.
Test, test.
All right.
All right.
Testing.
Good. All right. Everybody good?
Yeah, we're good.
Welcome to Security Get Ready with Black Hat 2016.
Thank you.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Jess Parnell.
And you, sir?
Justin Rogers.
And what's your company?
Centripetal Networks. We're a hardware manufacturer.
Centripetal Networks. You are my first out of 53 of my last show, the first hardware manufacturer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody is in here talking about how to see into the future and how to limit everything about your organization. Nobody's bringing in hardware. This is interesting. So,
and an American company?
It's an American
manufactured
company.
Manufactured in U.S.
How long manufactured in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire. How long have you been in business?
So we were founded in 2009, and we do manufacturing. We've designed our own product from the ground up, all the boards and all the power.
Fabulous.
And all the components.
Yeah. Tell us about it. Tell us about what it does.
So it's a network appliance. We're sitting in line. We're deployed outside of the firewall on the internet-facing connection, and we're looking for threat intelligence indicators of compromise, indicators of attack, whatever you want to call it. But essentially, we have IPs, domains, and URLs that are being updated from all these threat intel providers. We support about 50 providers today, all condensed in one single appliance.
Everybody get that back at home?
It's home. How about standing right here? I'm sure for that. So why is this different than how other people protect the network?
So
the box is outside your firewall, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry about trying to catch them at the wall or behind the wall.
Sure.
Is that a different approach?
Yeah, it's totally a different approach. So we sit outside your egress points. And what we do at a very high rate of speed is we actually analyze every single packet that comes in and out of your network. So what we do is we match it against up to 5 million rules at line rate.
5 million rules?
Yeah, that's a lot more than
that sounds like
what
the
a
United States Senator.
Right?
So. All right. That's great.
And what we do is we just pluck it off the wire if it matches a set of intel. So, you know, some of the intel sources that we use are like iSight, CrowdStrike, any of the major providers.
Now, speed, we talked a little bit. Speed is a huge product differentiator for you guys. Right. Let's say a company wants to really learn about what it's what's out there. How long does it really take to deploy this hardware and get results back?
So generally, it's a same-day deployment. Even in some very large organizations, they've got some equipment in place where they can give us span ports or a tap that we can just see where all the traffic is and just start doing a visible monitoring capability. But if we deploy in line, we have to do some other analysis around how their implementation is for high availability. But we're running up to 10 gigs of network speed. We have eight ports. Mm-hmm. So we can do some very complex configurations at high speed.
Now, is this considered a version of a router?
We're stateless. We're a we don't have an addressable port that's filtering this traffic, so we're really just a bump in the wire.
It's a box.
So as long as we have a link coming in, we can sit inside that link and we can evaluate the traffic.
This reminds me of controllers for access control systems back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. We had a box that sat near a door and maybe controlled two or three doors, and if one door controller went down, my whole system didn't go down. And we like that approach. We tried to bifurcate it into little sections so somebody couldn't attack one area. And then we stored data locally on that box. And, you know, if somebody attacked that box, they weren't able to get to the other systems.
Sure.
Why have we gotten away from a hardware approach? Why are we all focused on my magic software? Because this seems like just a mechanical lock on your stream.
Sure. Well, and exactly. But for the user, I mean, for the listeners at home, it's also using threat intel. Right. So you said you're using from 50 different providers, understanding what those threats are, then filtering it out and notifying you.
Correct.
Saying this is so it's actually a tool that's using a lot of different languages, if you will.
Sure.
But great question. Why?
Well,
hardware.
So some
why
of our
people not doing that more.
Yeah, I mean, some of our success is the we have people or partner or we have people that actually are buying threat intel and then it's not getting the value out of it. So they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And so what we do is we load up all those indicators, whatever threat intel provider you're using, and you get a better return rate. So everything that's on the wire, every single indicator that intel provider gives you, it's already looking for it.
Now, how does it do it so quickly? So we hear everybody say real time, and everybody defines real time very differently, right?
Yeah, so we're a very engineering heavy company, and for us, real time is as that packet's moving across the wire.
Okay.
Wow. Latency of about 10 microseconds when we're running at 5 million rules. So
I think that's a little slow.
It's essentially
for me. 10
micro. Switch
10
like
microseconds.
I could bake
right?
a ham
no, that's
with that
what
kind
you
of
guys
time.
Do differently. We so, talked about this.
Built
your
some,
speed, right?
Yeah, built some custom algorithms that run on that hardware to be able to do that. That's really the priority.
Are you the only people that do this?
Essentially,
at
yeah.
That speed,
so, at that speed?
At that speed, I would say yes.
Wow.
So are you going in, so okay, so you have to have a company large enough that is utilizing threat intel. That's mm-hmm. already kind of a differentiator there. But are you in smaller companies?
We are.
And what's that relationship mm-hmm. like? Do so, they have a staff that looks at the data with mm-hmm. your help, or are you providing that? How does that work?
So, you know, when you operationalize threat intel, it gets a little confusing. It gets a little bit of, you do get it some noise. Mm-hmm. We can actually get through a lot of that noise pretty quickly. So what we end up doing during a 30-day trial period is we train whoever is responsible for the box. If it's a smaller company, it might be a sysadmin, a network engineer that might be taking or inheriting the box. Same with enterprise clients. We'll work with their threat intel analysts and kind of show them how we operate that intel. But to get to your original question, we also do open source
okay.
threat intel. We do low cost threat intel.
Right.
So
one of your feeds.
As one of the feeds, okay. yeah.
Oh,
and so
all right.
it can become reasonably priced for a small company. So
well, I think that's a challenge. I mean, you talked about this with some other people today.
You know, people assume, and we've talked about this on almost every show, that big corporate America employs most of the people. Mm-hmm. Wrong. It's the opposite. It's yeah, a small business that employs most people, right?
Well, and I think it's relative, too. Mm-hmm. Somebody may say, oh, well, that small company only has X amount of dollars to lose. But to that company,
no,
it's
I get it.
That's
all their
huge.
Dollars.
That's
right.
all their dollars. So, yeah. I mean, what's the...
But here's what I would say. I would say I'm the ABC accounting company, and Fox hires me
yeah.
when they get overflowed with accounting problems.
Right.
And you get into my company, and I got a VP into Fox,
now
and I'm just taking roundabout away,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So,
you know.
I mean, it's... As companies grow, more specialized is what we're seeing. More companies,
right.
especially in this space, are sharing information more and more.
Exactly.
It's a very symbiotic relationship between everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you translate that back down into small companies that maybe can't afford all this? Mm-hmm. How are we going to move the needle in that direction?
So we're working with organizations like FSISAC, and there's lots of small banks and financial institutions that kind of have that problem of no security people. There's the Retail Federation. There's a ton of retailers, and they
yeah.
don't have these tools. So we're working on some ways to help them move that traffic in a way that they can monitor it and
yeah.
maybe outsource that as a service.
You know, I could see this box sitting on the wall behind my garage. So before my technical glitch, where I ran out of space on my disk, I could see this sitting on the wall behind my garage where my feed from AT&T comes in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And as a home application, boy, cutting down on 90% of the problems mm-hmm. that homes have with phishing and all kinds
sure.
of things, right?
Sure.
Can we move that way technically
yeah,
someday?
Someday, I think so. I mean, if you look at the firewalls when they first came out decades ago, they were very expensive. And then
yeah.
as they dropped down, now everybody has them. And I think threat intelligence, we're seeing a lot of sharing that's going on. DHS is getting these things going. There's a lot of mandates to share.
Mm-hmm.
And these communities are going to grow. I mean, Facebook is doing threat intel sharing, and it's all open source. And so as we get these things going, it's going to be a lot more valuable for
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I mean, I yeah. could see if I can turn that faucet down, it's your box.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, can something get through your box?
Well,
possible?
It sees everything. I mean,
yeah.
you know, so if it can't see it, then it didn't happen, I guess, because it looks at every single packet.
Well, it sees it, but you have some mitigation
yes.
built into the box
so,
that isolates it and says, wait a minute, let's quarantine it, or is it just an alert that we tell the IT guy, hey, it just came in, go get it?
Well, it does both. Right?
Okay.
So it can actually pull it off the wire. So if it matches
a
something
known.
That you want to block,
right.
It just pulls it right off the wire. If it's something that you want to alert on, then it lets it pass and it alerts your SIM or
and
your
And it's smart enough to know... To sift out all the noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of so many threat intel partners.
Well, that's
have.
My question. So am I turning down the faucet with all this white noise coming mm-hmm. in so the IT guy can focus on
what
his
really
internal
matters.
Business, what matters?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if one guy's super genius and he gets through, mm-hmm. that's easier to see than
exactly.
50 million of them, right?
Or
well, you
and you're isolated because mm-hmm. you now know that it came through.
Sure.
It's an anomaly, right?
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
you're able to very quickly assess or notify the right person so that the collateral damage is
correct.
Minimized.
The timing on these things
correct.
Is very important. So
yeah.
If you have, and we see it with the DNC attacks, these things are low and slow. So if you have intelligence, which a lot of these vendors have long-term intelligence on some of these adversaries, you see that activity in your network, something's amiss, and you can shorten that cycle.
We had a gentleman here from Russia, a scientist, talking about his product. And this was an epiphany to me today.
Is this the
so we got employees inside your network doing all kinds of things. We look at behavioral patterns. We can trace that. But when a bad guy gets in the network and you don't know he's there, he just looks like another employee.
Correct.
And the way they caught this one guy was that here's an employee and he's not doing anything. He's not producing. He's not sending emails. He's doing nothing. He was there for months.
Yeah,
and so then they said, wait a minute, that's an anomaly. Not moving is an anomaly. Interesting. So are there any packets, or are these guys getting smart where they put all their malicious code in things, or some things going back to just a super simple Trojan horse that might be able to get in there and do something? Or are they getting more sophisticated that way? Because now they seem very complicated and smart. But
well,
you know,
everything is getting
approach.
More complicated, which is bringing up more white noise, which is causing a lot
more. Yeah, but sometimes
right?
you just go through some simple little stupid thing like I'm not technical.
I guess, to take your question down just one level, how do you handle insider? Does your box help provide some assurance against insider threats?
Well, let me back up a little bit, because I think something that we have a high success on is lowering the actual quantity of traffic to the security devices, right? So this might help, because the problem is the noise, right? The
noise is the problem, right?
The noise is always a problem. So in a small business environment, what we end up doing is we go in and we'll actually talk to them about just doing simple country blocking, right? So if they can do with OFAC, which is a financial compliance, basically North Korea.
Don't send to certain countries, right?
Countries that you can easily say, you know, we don't. That. So
I
that's
do business with Nigeria all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
No, my bank knows them. It's all good. So you filter that
some
guy out.
With lots of money over there, right? Yeah.
So if we start with OFAC and then we move to like an ITAR, which is an arms regulation, and everyone is always like, "Well, why is arms regulation important to me?" Right? Well, these are countries that normally you'll get people routing their traffic through because they're not U.S. law enforcement friendly, right? So once you knock out OFAC and ITAR, that's significant quantities of the world that you don't have to look at traffic.
Sure. Interesting. All right.
And small businesses are really key for that because a lot of companies, they don't need to be talking to all the places around the world. And so this does a very high-speed packet filtering that doesn't impact their daily business and quiets down whatever tools they have behind it. Like if they have snort rules or security on you or anything like that behind it, it now has a lot less to look at.
Is email getting through this?
Email does,
So the phishing, is phishing getting caught at this box?
So we're not inspecting at the email level today. We're doing web content, and we're doing domains, and we're doing IP
Fair
level
enough.
Content. So it's future capabilities. But a lot of times what you'll see is you'll see spear phishing attempts that have links that are already known by vendors like PhishMe and some of the other providers.
Oh, and those links are
then. And then when you go to click that link to go get whatever it is, it doesn't load because we can block. Because
you caught that link before.
So it's really layering your security. It is different providers.
Yeah.
It is. You guys are on that outer realm.
Yeah, another big advantage in getting to that threat intel, silos are created with a lot of the other tools.
Right.
So you have a feed that comes from the provider of the product, and that is really the limit of it. And so when we go across the whole spectrum of the sources, you end up with this whole silo being broken down.
Sure.
Of threat intel.
Sure.
I think this is brilliant.
No, I think it's pretty cool because we have not had anybody come talk about hardware.
No.
It's like everybody says, well, hardware days are over. All have firewalls.
Our
this
thing
is interesting.
Protects the hardware we have.
No, this is
the networks
everybody's
are getting faster and faster.
No, you guys are talking about something that is going to continue to be important, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And you're adding something that's really relevant and it's unique.
So what's on the horizon? We're going to look at maybe have an email into your next version and all those kind of things.
Yeah,
So one of the things that we're looking at is maybe helping enrich some of the IP indicators. IP indicators they tend to be really really noisy, and they're like the diamond in the haystack, right? Mm-hmm. So or the needle in the haystack.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're looking at alternatives to actually pass that IP hits to help enrich them, maybe by like passing by snort rules or any type of IDS software that is open source, so we can enrich those lower fidelity indicators. So that's something that's on the horizon.
All those capabilities help in the incident response portion of the phase. This is happening now. What do I do? How do I speed up that workflow and get that stuff run?
So generally, how's Black Hat for you guys? You guys had a lot of fun putting out some new information. It's been good for you.
Absolutely,
it's been very interesting.
Yeah, it's been interesting for us. How many shows have you done?
You are the last one, Charisse. Mm-hmm. 53 shows.
Wow,
53 shows. Yeah,
that's a lot. Three days.
A lot of shows.
Unbelievable amount of. Information that's come through. It's been a real learning experience.
Justin, thanks for coming on the show. Give us your website
again. Well, thank you. It's centripetalnetworks.com.
Beautiful. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio.
Yeah. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Good interview.
Thanks,
very
guys.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah.